Fellowship, VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network. This is the Truth Radio program. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on the front page of prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Today's guest is once again Ingrid Castle. Ingrid's the director of Vaccination Liberation, and she will be teaching us today how we can now prove that vaccines are an assault with a deadly weapon. Welcome, Ingrid.
Hi. I don't know how my sound is. Is my sound okay? Can you hear me?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. I didn't know if I was too loud or what. You were a little soft. So, well, thanks so much for having me. I just want to mention our website is vaccinetruth.com, and that will redirect you to our main page, which is VACLIB, short for Vaccination Liberation. Just the first three letters, VAC, and then Liberation. lib.org, and it has a wealth of information. We have a keyword index. We have running news stories, and I believe our webmaster Dewey did post this amazing deposition that we've been discussing whether it's even legal to disseminate because it was not used in this court case. But let me, you know, I really want to just jump right in. There's two documents that to me are really telling that should be able to be used in court. And the first one, actually before the deposition, it came out, the press release was July 13th, 2018 from Informed Consent Action Network. And what happened after a series of FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, Freedom of Information Act request to the Health and Human Services to compel them to produce the reports they sent to Congress since 1986-87 when the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act passed. That was in 1986 it passed. And anyway, there's a whole section in 42 United States Code, Section 300 and AA-27, entitled Mandate for Safer Childhood Vaccines, and it says, in the administration of this part and other pertinent laws under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary shall, one, promote the development of childhood vaccines that result in fewer and less serious adverse reactions in those vaccines on the market on December 22nd, 1987, and promote the refinement of such vaccines, and two, make or assure improvements in and otherwise use the authorities of the Secretary with respect to the licensing, manufacturing, processing, testing, labeling, warning, use instructions, distribution, storage, administration, field surveillance, adverse reaction reporting, and recall of reactogenic lots of batches of vaccines and research on vaccines in order to reduce the risks of adverse reactions to vaccines. Well, the thing is they were supposed to, within 2 years of December 22nd, 1987, and periodically thereafter, the Secretary was to prepare and transmit to the Committee on Energy and Commerce, the House of Representatives, and the Committee on Labor and Human Resources of the Senate, a report describing the actions they've taken pursuant to this subsection of the, so they, you know, what are you doing to create safer vaccines and to be a check on the system and recalling bad batches of vaccines and assuring that we have a safe supply? This is just about safety, not even efficacy. Well, you know, they filed a complaint because it was in August 2017, August 25th, that they submitted a Freedom of Information Act request, and they never replied. And then on April 12th, 2018, they filed the complaint for declaratory and injunctive relief in the United States District Court in Southern District of New York against the Health and Human Services seeking records, if any, responsive to the request. They had to actually file a court document to compel them. So after that, I mean, that was April 12th. It took them 2 months. On June 27th, 2018, they sent ICANN, our Informed Consent Action Network, that is Del Bigtree's organization. He's the producer of Vaxxed, and he had hired Robert Kennedy Jr. to represent them in this request. And this is what they got. The department searches for records did not locate any records responsive to your request. The Department of Health and Human Services, immediate office of the secretary, conducted a thorough search of its document tracking systems. The department also conducted a comprehensive review of all relevant indexes of the secretarial correspondence records maintained at Federal Record Center that remain in the custody of Health and Human Services. These searches did not locate records responsive to your request or indications that records responsive to your request and in the custody of HHS are located at the Federal Record Center. So basically, the whole court case, it was stipulated that it was dismissed with prejudice, and that, you know, that we have the proof that they haven't been doing it, and it seems like they have no intention of fulfilling the law. So they're in violation of the law, and that's proof that there is no check on the safety of vaccines produced in this country. Because that was a stipulation. Once you release the pharmaceutical industry of all liability for one of their products, which happened with the passage of the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act in 1986, when that passed, when they were discussing it, Congress wanted to make sure there was a check, and that was with Health and Human Services, that they were required to do follow-up on all licensed vaccines. Well, that has never happened, and so we see the injury rate has increased, the schedule's increased, and we also have over $4 billion has been paid out in injuries, and there's more and more claims all the time as more people find out that there's actually a compensation act. You know, most people, when they take their children to get vaccinated, many of them aren't given any form of informed consent whatsoever. Some of them don't even receive vaccine information sheets that are one-sided. And they, if they suffer reaction, the doctors are dismissive. And many times they pass that window to file a vaccine injury complaint because it takes them a while to catch on.
And they also give us a bottle of Tylenol. They gave me, and I know my friend Linda too, they give parents a bottle of Tylenol to give our child before they even come in for the vaccination. Is that insane?
Yeah, which actually exacerbates the whole problem. You're increasing the inflammation. And, you know, your body needs that fever to try to, you know, stimulate a vigorous response to try to, you know, handle the poisons that were injected. So when you are suppressing the fever, you're just adding to the injury and increasing the degree of inflammation in the brain and nervous system. So it's really quite tragic. You know, your body is intelligent and it's meant to heal itself. But when you inject something right, you know, bypassing all the normal portals of entry and going right into your system like a snake bite would. I mean, when you treat a snake bite, you're trying to get that venom out, but not with vaccines. It stays in your body to do its damage. So that is the first document. I mean, it's a court document. You can get it at the Informed Consent Action Network website, which I believe is ICANN.org. I should look for where that link is. It's ICANDecide.org. ICANDecide.org. That's the website, and he has press releases and the full court document as well as the press releases there. I make tons of copies of that. And then recently it was brought to my attention that in this case, it's okay, let me give you some background. It's just quite amazing. Lori Matheson and her husband, Michael Schmidt, had a child named Faith. And the daughter was fairly young when they disagreed on the vaccine issue. But actually, she wanted a divorce. And I mean, she had the good paying job. I guess he was kind of a ne'er-do-well. And apparently, he decided to bring up the vaccine issue because he wanted to get out of paying child support. I mean, this is what we're being told anyway, that as soon as the child support issue came back, because he was getting to be in arrears, he decided he was going to go for custody and push the vaccine issue. So Michael, in his wisdom, decided, and she brought a court case, in fact, to sue him for trying to vaccinate their child when they had strong, she had strong religious beliefs due to the aborted fetal cell lines being used in the creation of vaccines and the shedding of DNA into our vaccines, you know, making it a form of cannibalism and altering our DNA. And then she also had the other, the medical she felt was strong, even though she didn't have a doctor signing off on it. But she, her family has a history of lupus and autoimmune diseases, her parents, and then she's had some issues that she correlates with vaccine injury, some of her health problems. So anyway, so Lori Matheson, or Lori Schmidt, but she goes by her maiden name now, she filed a lawsuit against Mike Schmidt on the vaccine issue, that, you know, she had a right to keep Faith free of vaccines. So this was done in the fall of 2017. Apparently, the case is still ongoing. But her attorney, now don't ask me for the names, this is all in Michigan. Her attorney went ahead and hired Aaron Seary of New York as co-counsel. Now, Aaron Seary graduated with honors from a Berkeley law school. I don't know if it was in the UC system or not, but I forget. Anyway, he went on and became a clerk in the Israeli Supreme Court, and then he left there. He's in New York, and he is actually a brilliant on the vaccine issue. He's done loads of research. So what happened is, this is so amazing. So Michael Schmidt, he goes ahead and contacts Voices for Vaccines and says, I need an expert witness. Well, they ask around, they're trying to find someone, and Paul Offit declines, you know, all these people decline to be an expert witness because they also understand that if you hire an expert witness, the other side can depose that expert witness and create their own documentation and ask their own questions. So they decided to get Stanley Plotkin. He is the godfather of vaccinology. He teaches all over the world. He has a huge traveling schedule every year. And he was Paul Offit and Hortez's mentor and teacher. So this is the, you know, the big dude. And in fact, if you're in this movement very long, you're going to want to get one of his books. I actually, it's called Vaccines, and it comes out every year or so, and it's by Plotkin and Mortimer. And this is a compiled, you know, referenced article on each disease that we know and vaccines that have allegedly eradicated. And they're all very, very scholarly. And I got mine. They're generally $200. I know Sherry Tenpenny got a newer version. I got mine for $50 at a used bookstore. And I think it's the 2000 version. But anyway, it's still a must-have. It's helped me write my articles. It's just one of those things. And that he started that publication of this, you know, it is the manual for anyone that's in the vaccine realm. So anyway, as soon as he was, he agreed to be an expert witness, Aaron Seary in New York deposed him And they met in New Hope, Pennsylvania, somewhere, because that's where he has a huge multi-million-dollar mansion, this Stanley Plotkin. And of course, it's never about the money. Well, after I started, it was posted on a forum that April Renee and I are on, and it had both the videos. There's 9-part video where you can see his expressions, or you can get the whole transcript. And I did post that if anyone wants to email and get the whole transcript, but it's over 8 hours. And it is absolutely so damning what he says and the lies he's caught in. I mean, you know, you have to understand it's under penalty of perjury. You know, a deposition, you have to tell the truth. And he pretty much says more than he ever wanted to. And he allegedly recused himself as an expert witness the following day. So I think the judge in this case, they don't know really what to do. I mean, it's been over a year. I asked someone for a more recent update. There doesn't seem to be one. So while this document's never been used in this particular court case, it's there. And so... And it is a deposition, and it is sworn, you know, recorded by a court reporter, and it is sworn to be under oath with a threat of penalty of perjury. So this is it. I mean, it's worth reading. And then I'm reading, I wasn't going to buy it, and then I felt like, you know, damn, I really should buy it. J.B. Handley's book, How to End the Autism Epidemic. Now, all of our legislators, both national and state legislators, in October 11th or mid-October, they were all mailed, media mail, with a cover letter from Robert Kennedy Jr., the book, How to End the Autism Epidemic, that J.B. Handley just put out. And, you know, it really is an excellent read. And lo and behold, I found out I get to chapter 4 of the first part, and he does a great job summarizing aspects of this deposition. And these are some of the things. I mean, see, Aaron Siri is really good at, to me, kind of leading him into bear traps. So he starts out the whole deposition asking him about his travel, how often he travels out of the country, and, you know, and then pretty soon he's nailing him on why he makes these trips. And then he asked him if he knows anything about this case. He knew nothing about this case, just that it was a custody dispute over vaccines. And he didn't know the child's name, the condition of her health, zero. But yes, he affirms that she should get vaccines. And then he nails him, of course, unless it's medically contraindicated. Well, you know, he never even had that as a caveat before. He answered that, of course, she should get vaccines, you know. And so he's constantly leading him into different types of bear traps. And then, you know, with the travel schedule, he gets nailed for that he's being paid quite a bit to teach vaccine science and, or, you know, bad science anyway, to people all over the world. He does these conferences, and they're primarily funded by the manufacturers of vaccines. And then we find out that Voices for Vaccines, he was an organization he ended up being on the board of and being instrumental in starting. And it's completely independent of any funding from the pharmaceutical industry. Well, the Aaron Siri, of course, did his research, and he found another organization that was a front group for Big Pharma that was funding Voices for Vaccines. So in a roundabout way, they were being funded by Big Pharma. So, you know, it kind of goes on and on. He's caught so many times, and he has to tell the truth and admit that he didn't realize. You know, one thing that I think that shocked J.B. Handley and me too, both of us, was he was unaware that less than 1% of vaccine injuries are ever reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And that's, you know, a quote from right from the Health and Human Services. It is, you know, widely known that many of these reactions are not reported. And he thought it was close to 100% of reactions are reported. And he seemed basically disinterested in finding out any problems that could be associated with any vaccines that, you know, because vaccines are infallible, of course. And so this is how he kind of summarized that section when he was summarizing, you know, things that were in this deposition, which is amazing. I mean, when I first saw it, I downloaded it in my computer and I literally started, you know, just reading and reading and stayed up way past my bedtime, you know, just because I was compelled, you know, page after page. It was just so amazing. So anyway, he says, J.B. Hanley says, Dr. Plotkin appears sociopathic. The definition of the word is lacks a sense of moral responsibility or social conscience. I'm not sure what else to call someone who runs vaccine trials on orphans, the mentally disabled, and babies and moms in prison, and then pens an opinion editorial justifying using the mentally ill for medical trials. It's deeply disturbing thinking. And this is the man who has guided the vaccine industry's ideology for 50 years. He's also intolerant of anyone who may have a genuine religious objection to vaccines. I mean, he's admits he's an atheist, and there's no justification for any kind of religious abstaining, you know, the fetal cell lines. I mean, they have basically talked all religions through money. You know, we're talking about, you know, the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Russian Church, all of the churches that the state recognizes in any country all stand behind the use of aborted fetal cell lines in vaccine production. And this is how powerful this man is in you know, and the pharmaceutical industry and having these various, I mean, there's plenty of biblical quotes that would, you know, any person in the right mind that's a Christian certainly would not vaccinate if they actually read their Bible and actually understood. Do this because they listen to their pastor instead of having a direct relationship with, you know, the Son and, you know, the Creator. So, you know, to me, unless you go within and reach, you know, your soul level and have clear discussions with the divine, you're not going to know a lot of things that you should know. I find over and over again, in fact, I was talking with or emailing a couple people locally, and we were talking about the depth of conspiracy and all levels. And you know, she was bringing up that she was in Hollywood area and was at some elitist type party. And she found out that they don't vaccinate. The elites absolutely do not vaccinate their own children. And that was such a shock to her. But, you know, you would think that, you know, Paul Offit probably doesn't vaccinate his son either. Bill Gates has been, it's been shown that Bill Gates does not vaccinate his children. So there you go. You know, they know. I mean, it's certainly a depopulation agenda, but this guy got caught quite a bit. And, you know, the exhibits that Aaron Seary produced that he made Stanley Plotkin look at and review and then, you know, change the answer to his line of questioning based on evidence was is pretty amazing. So I would encourage anyone to get those documents. I'm actually not sure exactly where my webmaster Dewey Duffel posted it at our main website, the Vaccination Liberation website, but it's definitely there, a link to the PDF, which is a great find. So to me, these documents really much prove, you know, because you mentioned, Renee, you mentioned that we have all these hospitals now refusing to treat children. And just recently in Miami, a family that has religious exemptions in Florida to vaccines are now being told they can't be in school unless they comply, that, you know, religion is now no longer a valid reason, even though it's part of state law. And this is the kind of thing that they should use, you know, to basically sue the school district.
Especially when,
I mean, these two documents should, you know, be all it takes. Or, you know, we also have documents on our website under on our exemption page to force the medical liability issue. And anyone that's forcing you into a medical procedure that's akin to surgery, you know, without informed consent, you know, your surgery is any time you're breaking open the skin with the intent of manipulating the inner workings of the body. So vaccines certainly qualify as surgery without informed consent. So, you know, when you have a policy of one size fits all type medicine, and, you know, in this case, a form of surgery, in my opinion, you know, you need to go ahead and be very proactive. And I certainly would file something in court and use these documents to prove that there's no check on the safety of these vaccines at all. And, you know, right now the vaccine injury compensation program is being flooded with complaints. I mean, they've had to hire more people. The compensation has been over $4 billion. They have our side has better expert witnesses now. I mean, we have Christopher Shaw, and there's other, you know, doctors that are experts on the role of aluminum and what it does to the brain. You know, this whole mitochondrial disorder is what these guys are focusing on now, that, you know, the children that end up with autism, it is all because of a mitochondrial disorder. Well, are they checking all the children out there for mitochondrial disorders ahead of getting vaccines? I mean, their parents were vaccinated. Their parents were vaccinated. So, you know, we probably have mitochondrial disorders throughout the population. So it kind of goes on and on like that. But I found it interesting. I was searching for more on this court case between Lori Matheson and Michael Schmidt, and wanted an update desperately because it is ongoing. And, you know, I wrote to James Lyon Weiler, and I haven't heard a response. I did that last night. So, but I think there is kind of, once this deposition happened and they don't have, the defense doesn't have an expert witness, I think that's kind of a huge thing, because the judge has been very pro-vaccine, and, you know, you just can't be mandating medicine from the bench, even if you're representing the state. You know, this is, you know, just not right. So there you go. And then, so yeah, the whole thing with children being forced, I mean, the homeschooling movement is growing by leaps and bounds. I just got a copy of Julie Cook's latest second edition of her Unvaccinated Homeschooled and News TV Free book. And she's had so much demand for the older copy after 8 years that she decided she did not want to send out any more older copies. She wanted to instead, you know, get a new edition out that is, has 40% more new material. But she said, I mean, I thought this is pretty amazing. For years, mainstream media has tried to marginalize the homeschooling, news, TV free, and anti-vaccine movements. It hasn't worked. These lifestyle choices continue to gain momentum and are getting a big boost in support by the independent-minded millennials. Homeschooling in the U.S. is growing by 3-8% per year, with homeschool students outnumbering charter school students. Wow, that's incredible, huh? Highly educated parents have become the least likely to vaccinate. Nearly half of all millennials never watch TV, and 84% of them don't trust traditional media sources or advertisers. So I think That's amazing in itself, those stats. So unvaccinated, homeschooled, and news TV free, childbearing options for uncommonly wise parents and dedicated to ensuring extraordinary emotional, mental, and physical well-being. It will show you why it's imperative that you think for yourself and have the courage to believe that your decisions are right. This is a book for educators, parents-to-be, and anyone who cares about health, well-being, and the future of our children. And I agree. I mean, I found the book very interesting in how she raised her brilliant daughter. And I don't know if she has any other children, but it was very self-directed learning. I mean, yes, there was, you know, teaching and talking and boundaries and, you know, but I mean, really encourage the child to unfold naturally. And of course, introducing only healthy foods to children at an early age is pretty paramount for them. You don't want to screw up their taste buds with, you know, lollipops and junk food. It's really hard to get them off those addictive foods once they start. So you really want to, you know, encourage them to eat, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables and, you know, and hopefully have a garden of your own. So it's, you know, there is a huge movement. I mean, there's Pathways to Family Wellness that Jeannie Ohm is the main editor of, and it's an excellent quarterly publication. There's Wise Traditions, and there's so many new people coming on board of those organizations. They have a Pathways to Family Wellness meetings all over the country. They've kind of replaced, you know, parenting support groups for many, you know, and breastfeeding support groups, you know, because it's all under one umbrella now, you know, raising healthy children and what works and what doesn't. And, you know, you have open discussions, and it's really, really gratifying to see that things that I started where I lived, you know, when I raised my only daughter in Moses Lake, Washington, I had a Lalechi League group, and I, you know, started a food and educational, you know, tool cooperative. You know, we had cooperatives so we could all, you know, order from catalogs and get stuff wholesale, you know, everything to keep the woman at home, you know, in this type of economy. And we had a great group of women. And I'm, you know, now that stuff is being revived again, even though it's, you know, with our debt-based money system, it's difficult. Families are pulling together. Grandparents are helping. So families are pulling together for the sake of the children coming in. And that's all very gratifying to me, you know, that Julie Cook wrote such a wonderful book. She has a website, noregretslifecoaching.com. So, and she's also in Michigan, I believe. So, yeah, it's pretty incredible. Yeah, and she publishes it herself. No Regrets Publishing, isn't that great? So, yeah, I wrote in her previous book quite a, I was surprised to see it in her book, but I did quite a long review, and she didn't clip it. She put the whole thing right in the front. So, you know, I really encourage people to get this kind of information out. We got to increase our numbers, because just dealing with the mainstream media, I look at some of these stories and they're so slanted and so one-sided. It can be pretty discouraging if you even go there, which is why a lot of people are just shunning it, because they feel it's too much of a brainwash. It drains their energy. They find themselves upset, you know. So it's better to just, you know, kind of divorce yourself from that and instead network with people of like minds and use, you know, social media channels that are local, you know, to get your groups going. You know, there's plenty of local, I think every town has, you know, some kind of a Facebook page or some kind of a, and there's other kinds of meetups. You know, there's a meetup thing that I know friends of mine have used, you know, to get meetings going.
It is very important for parents today. I'm very happy my children are now, my baby girl is 18 now. She graduated high school, so I'm very happy they're not young ones anymore. But absolutely, support groups are imperative to hang together, because even last night we were watching a football game and they're literally just shoving not only drugs every other commercial, but they literally, during a Sunday night football game, announcing the Prevnar vaccine and how important it is to get the Prevnar vaccine.
Oh, like, yeah, you know, it's only our country and New Zealand that allows direct to consumer advertising by pharmaceutical industry. All other countries won't allow it. It has to come from, you know, any kind of push for any kind of drug or vaccine has to come from the public health authority or doctors. But yeah, it can't be, you know, advertised in newspaper and TV. It's not allowed.
That's crazy.
So, but in this country, yeah, what did you say? I'm sorry.
I was saying it's so much more now. I mean, before you saw, you know, maybe every 10 commercials a drug commercial. Now it's practically every commercial is promoting their propaganda. And then now the vaccines too. I mean, it's just amplified, like, you know, 10 times of what it used to be. And they're getting away with it.
Yeah, it says in the last 4 years, according to STAT News, advertising dollars spending by pharmaceutical companies in the United States has gone up 60%. Mm. This is just the last 4 years. This is what you're seeing, to $5.2 billion, making the drug industry the second largest buyer of advertising behind only the automotive industry. CBS News recently reported that 9 out of 10 of the biggest pharmaceutical companies actually spend more on advertising than on research and development, and that the U.S. spends more of its, you know, general domestic gross domestic product on healthcare than 12 other developed countries. Only two countries in the world allow drug advertising. Oh, it's on TV, not print media, on TV, and that's the United States and New Zealand. And the United States spends the most money per capita on prescription drugs in the world. In fact, a 2017 study noted prescription drug spending per capita is far higher in the United States than in the 9 other high-income countries considered. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah.
No, they can do it. So anyway. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why her book is so important. Turn off your TV. You know, I mean, you know, people will send stuff to me, you know, just on how, you know, this news report on TV, and it's just like, I don't even want to see it because it's so much garbage. But I do, you know. I have to maintain what's going on, you know, where you have two different hospitals, one in Florida and one in St. Louis, that is firing all nurses. They're not honoring medical or religious exemptions. And if you don't have a flu shot, you're going to do no more masking, and it's a zero tolerance. So, you know, these nurses, if they were smart, they'd be suing the hospital over this, you know.
Yep, they're losing their... Listen, their schooling, they're having to walk away from everything they've invested so much time in, and they're bowing down. It's crazy. It's crazy. And they're forcing them.
Well, that's the issue that was so eloquently done in Suzanne Humphrey's autobiography, Rising from the Dead. Mm-hmm. I had two people. One was actually my webmaster, and the other was a good friend, Susan, who was working with autistic children in the school district and finally had to quit over the incredible level of wirelessness and all their devices. I mean, it was, you know, affecting her health. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's affecting the kids' health too. Another reason you don't want them in school is because of this technology. Because it, you know, it's microwave radiation, basically, you know, hitting your cells constantly. And so I have a meter, you know, so I can check, but it's on loan for a week. But anyway, I have it in my purse because I am sensitive myself, you know, repeated exposures to high level radiation of this kind will make you more sensitive. So for me, if I'm around it for any length of time, I end up with a headache, and I never get headaches. It's a specific kind of headache of pressure from this kind of technology. So I'm very, I warn people about it. It is carcinogenic. Mm-hmm. People could go to wi-cancer.info. That's a brilliant website. I mean, just start reading. That's WI for Wi-Fi, and then hyphen, and then cancer.info. Mm-hmm. And that's Amy Worthington's website. She used to write for our newspaper, and she's been a pioneer in the radiation poisoning of our country since they started, the cell phones and the cell towers and all of that. So, but yeah, these are reasons why you want to be encouraged to homeschool and network with your family, extended family, friends. I mean, you want to keep your kids out of that school. So when you told me, Renee, that, there was a school in Miami that's kicking out these kids, mm-hmm. I would consider it a blessing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I told them last night. I spoke with them. Yeah, I spoke with them last night, and that's exactly what I told him. I said, you want to pull them out, because they're not. He has the religious exemption in Florida, and like we know, the only states are West Virginia, Mississippi, and then recently California, that aren't, not allowing the religious exemption. Florida has not passed the bill yet. Meanwhile, his children, four of them, are being kicked out of their school, saying they can no longer attend. So again, I told him last night, I said, you might as well just homeschool, because, there's just no, it's a private school, and I know they have a little more authority than most, correct? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They can actually, yes, they do. I mean, they're supposed to follow state laws, but mm-hmm. an exemption, I was told in this state, we have similar situations and like there's a whole in the university town of Moscow, Idaho. Mm-hmm. That's where the University of Idaho is. We had a case that was way, way back in 2002 or something, where they wanted to. The university's obviously state funded, partly, and there's a daycare that's operated at the university, and they were denying entry for a toddler over the vaccine issue. And the attorney general's opinion claimed that they could do that. They could have stricter standards. And now there's actually a city ordinance that no daycare, this is in our state, in Idaho, the freedom state, huh? that they have an ordinance. I've had senators on it and they're mad about it, but the city can have a law that's stricter than state law and not allow any exemptions. So, that's a huge concern. And you may not know this, but Montana has no exemptions at all for daycare unless you have a doctor's note. So there's no religious or philosophical for daycare. They have to be of school age, and then there's a religious exemption. And they've been fighting that. Their legislator in Montana only meets every other year. Mm-hmm. And they've been fighting that for the last 8 years that I know of, or longer.
Unbelievable.
But it's hard to network. Yeah, the state is so sparsely. It's a huge state. But like Wyoming, these population centers. And so the networking is not what it needs to be for that to happen. So I kept bugging them. They needed to join NVIC advocacy with Don Richardson. Mm-hmm. And because that would, Dr. McCullough had sent out to all of his people, encouraging people to join. So a lot of people signed up for the email, and it's all sorted by state. So if, any alert that would be sent out, it would go to all the people in Montana that signed up. That's a huge amount of people. I mean, in Idaho, we had over 200 that I wouldn't have known if it weren't for that list. I met a lot of people that way by signing up and being the director of NVIC advocacy for Idaho.
Wonderful.
But now we have our own organization, Health Freedom Idaho, and they're doing a great job. A lot of people from California escaping to Idaho are part of our group.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, I don't know how many. Absolutely. I don't know how many. Do you know the number as far as how many Californians were forced to vaccinate their children or how many actually complied when they implemented SB 277?
I don't know those figures.
You know it had to have gone up. You know a lot of them were up.
Huh?
I'm sure many of them that weren't, you know, were kind of walking the fence, not really understand why they weren't doing it. I'm sure they gave in. So I'm sure they definitely got their percentage up, which was their agenda, obviously, was to get, you know, higher rates, for sure.
Well, then, no, I do know my friend Michelle, her daughter has a school age child, and she had them tested for the MTHFR gene that would contraindicate, you know, make it like, you know, it would increase the risk for an adverse reaction if you have this gene in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So she was tested, and it cost a bunch of money for the test, but she was able to get a medical exemption. But now they're trying to come down on any doctor that issues medical exemptions because their definition of a medical exemption is you've had to had reactions to previous vaccines. So these people that don't want any vaccines, you can't get a medical exemption very easy. So that's why she tested for this particular gene. So
yeah, Dr. Kendra, we interviewed a couple weeks ago. She went into detail about that gene. And of course, you know, it's connected to generational vaccine damage. My daughter, she's wanting to go to school in Tallahassee or Gainesville, one of those two schools. Anyway, I called her last night to tell her what was happening with the gentleman with the four children in South Florida. And just to prepare her, I said, baby, they might be trying to, you know, force you to get a vaccination. But I think, and I told her, I said, try to find a medical doctor, you know, being that your big sister passed away from vaccines, you know, maybe you can use that as a medical, you know, let them know that you could die because if you get vaccinated and you know, because now she's an adult, so she can actually use that and hopefully get somebody to sign it. But I said, be prepared that you might not be able to go to college if they try to force you, you know, if she's not going to take it, you know.
Well, you that's why you force the medical liability issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have that. You know, you give them a vaccination notice. You tell them, you know, you can certainly adjust that notice. But these are corporations just doing business. They don't consider you a living flesh and blood human being. So you got to reemphasize that you are not, you know, the Social Security number, the birth certificate. That's not you. That's a separate entity. Yeah. And you're coming as a flesh and blood human being wanting to go to their college. And, you know, the thing is they generally want the smartest kids, but these colleges have gotten so out there with Agenda 2030 and, you know, there's so much garbage being pushed in the schools that I'm actually quite concerned for anyone going to a college and being able to navigate, you know, socially and otherwise. I mean, serious, you know, it's an extension of the brainwashing in public school. Okay. And, you know, you find that, you know, people that get their PhDs, you know, sometimes they're the most brainwashed, you know, that's very hard to think that they've invested years and years and years in study, that it's all information that is not actually true and valid. I mean, they preferred science now. Fluoride is an essential mineral, you know, on and on.
Gosh, that's insane.
Oh, well, yeah, chemistry. Chemistry's gotten perverted. The sciences have all gotten perverted.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's all funded by the drug companies, unfortunately, for their outcome, of course. But I wanted to throw something out for the last couple of minutes. We were contacted by NBC Universal Telemundo, a Spanish news radio station. They want to do a story on the national newscast about lower vaccination rates in the U.S. So apparently we're making a difference, Ingrid, because they're
That's good.
Yep, they're acknowledging there is a lower rate in the U.S. So, you know, people are waking up and hopefully trying, you know, abstaining from poisoning their children and themselves. And yeah, I know a lot of it, you know, came from, and I have to throw this out real fast because I was just telling my friend Linda the other day how the first article when Casey was injured, the first article that my mother sent me was an article called The Hour of Time. And it was the first article that I was introduced to, you know, of what was going wrong with her, why she wasn't developing normally and how the vaccines could be her problem. And it kept referring, I don't know if I ever told you the story before, it kept, the article kept referring to a book by Arthur Waleen James. And it,
yeah.
I kept referring to this person to the point where I stopped reading the article and I finally said, let me go get that book. So I go to Barnes & Noble and I ask for the title of the book and she's like, ma'am, that book doesn't exist. And I'm like, well, there's a guy, Waleen James, give me, what books has he written, you know? And she says, ma'am, that's not an author. We don't have that author on file either. And I go back and finish reading the article and it says, don't waste your time going to Barnes & Noble because you're not going to find this. You have to go underground. And then for everyone to know, I find out years later, my mentor, Ingrid Castle, my soul sister, Waleen James is not only not a male. It was my mommy. So this is who you're listening to right now, people. You are listening to Ingrid Castle, whose mother was Waleen James, who, oh my gosh, did such great work. And Ingrid was raised this way. So nobody knows it like she knows it. And that's why I'm honored to have her on here and just to hear all the wisdom she shared with me over the years.
Yeah, well, you could still get immunization. The reality behind the myth, although the publisher broke the contract, they're publishing. I mean, it would be a whole lawsuit I'd have to deal with, you know, to try have them cease and desist. And, you know, we've never gotten royalties for, you know, years. And yeah. It was a way bad contract. I mean, we begged her not to sign it and she didn't listen to us. She was very bad with money. So we helped her with her second book. I had Carol Adler with Dandelion Books publish it. It's called The Vaccine Religion, Mass Mind, and the Struggle for Human Freedom. And I spent a lot of time, you know, editing that thoroughly. And that was in print in 2012. And it's an excellent book because when you break it all down, they're pushing a religion. It is a religion. And that when they're trying to say that they don't honor religious beliefs, well, I'm sorry, you're pushing a religion. There's no real science that proves the safety, efficacy, necessity of vaccines. It just isn't there, you know. I mean, unless it's tainted.
That's right, unless it's tainted, exactly. We're running out of time now, Ingrid. I thank you so very much for being on the show today, and let's have you back again, maybe even next week if you're available. And
we can bring Julie Cook on.
Let's do it.
I'm going to read through her book. Yeah, Julie Cook is great. I had her as a guest before. She's very, very animated and just wonderful.
Excellent, excellent. So, we'll definitely have her contact me because I would love that. But I've got to do the closing statement now. We love you, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon, okay? Thank you, thank you.
Okay.
You're listening. God bless you too, sweetheart. Again, audience, you're listening to Vic Fellowship, Vaccine Information Coalition, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website on the belly of the little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m., and our contact number is 800-939-8227. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to have this show, and y'all bless to all.